In the spring of 1989, the death of a pro-democracy official sparked a series of student protests in China. I remember I was watching it on TV. Over 100,000 protesters gathered in Tiananmen Square in the heart of Beijing, and the government was very wary. As work strikes and demonstrations continued and a mass hunger strike began, the government finally had enough, so they sent in the army. Last night, on June 3, 1989, tanks rolled into the crowded square. By June 4, it was over. Excuse me, that was late at night on June 3rd. Tiananmen Square was clear. Reports of casualties varied widely, ranging from hundreds to thousands. Kate Ady, a BBC reporter, was there 20 years ago. Here's her report from that time. Oh, we don't have that report, but Kate Ady joins us now. Good morning.
Good morning.
Also joining us now is Jeff Widener from Hawaii. He shot the famous photo of a lone man clad in a white shirt standing down a tank. Thanks to both of you.
Thank you.
Let's start with you, Kate Ady. Katie Ady, can you sort of recreate the scene from the time? What do you remember? What was your what were you witnessing at that time?
I was out for 5 hours that evening, going out just before midnight, having heard that shots had been fired miles away from Tiananmen Square. And with my camera crew, I roamed around for 5 hours, and I saw more people killed than I have ever witnessed, and some were killed standing right next to me. Soldiers on trucks fired indiscriminately at ordinary citizens coming out of their houses, woken by the sound of tanks. People who just peered round the corner, going home from work late from various places, they too got caught. People were shot in their houses through the thin clay walls of their little houses. It was slaughter, and none of them were armed. The tanks got right to Tiananmen Square eventually with APCs behind them, and the students were slowly pushed out of the square, but not before. At 4:15, I'd witnessed volleys of shots which did not go over the heads, which were not rubber bullets, as the students had thought. They were live rounds.
Kate Ady, we do have that clip from 20 years ago. Here it is.
After hours of shooting and facing a line of troops, the crowd is still here. They're shouting, "Stop the killing and down with the government."
And I believe that is the moment that you were at in your story. Also joining us from Hawaii is Jeff Widener. Jeff, you took the famous picture of a man facing down a tank. Tell us how you got that shot.
I'd received a massive concussion from a rock that hit me probably in the early morning hours of June 4th. So I was kind of spaced out, and I was trying to sleep it off. The next morning, I came into the AP office, which is located at the diplomatic compound, and there was a message from AP New York saying that they didn't want anybody to take any unnecessary risks, but if somebody could please photograph the occupied Tiananmen Square, they'd appreciate it.
That's always the journalist's dilemma. Don't endanger yourself, but go get the story. So you did.
So, you know, I was pretty shaken up from the concussion. I was sick as a dog with a flu, and now I had to take a bicycle, go out in the street again, and, you know, I'm weaving around all these burned-out buses and rocks in the ground, and I had to go all the way to the Beijing Hotel because that was really the best vantage point to even have a chance of getting the occupied square. And I'd heard rumors that, journalists had had their film confiscated and been beaten up and even had electric cattle prods used on them. So I hid all my camera equipment inside of my Levi jacket, hid the film in my underwear, and I basically went through the lobby like I was just, you know, a normal, visitor there. And I had to think quickly because they had a lot of security and white robes, you know, these like gowns things. And so I just saw this young kid named Kirk, and I walked up to him, and I said, "Hi, Joe, where you been?" And then I whispered, "You know, I'm from AP. Can you let me up to your room?" So he picked it up real quick, and then the security guys figured I was with him, and they left, got up to the room. And then he helped me eventually get up to the roof and get the picture of the occupied Tiananmen Square. And I was shooting a lot of things. You know, they were bringing dead and dying in the street below on little carts. And buses would plow through these buses that were burned out in the street. And finally, I ran out of film. And I just asked Kurt, you know, "Listen, can you help me out? Because I can't go out and look like a journalist." So he went out, and he about an hour later came back with one roll of film, and I'm looking at it, and I'm thinking, well, okay, load the camera, and I basically took a nap, and then hear the sound of tanks coming down the street. So I go to the balcony, and I'm thinking, well, this is a nice composition, and then all of a sudden this guy runs out with shopping bags, and I told Kurt this guy's going to screw up my picture, you know, because the composition. So he says, you know, they're going to kill that guy, and then, you know, I'm looking and thinking, you know, when are they going to shoot him? And I'm just waiting for that instant. He's obviously going to get shot, and nothing happens. So I look back at the bed where I have a doubler, and this would increase the focal length of my lens. It would double. It's like a pair of binoculars is 10 times. It would go to 20 times. You just get closer view. The question is, do I gamble? Do I go back, you know?
And what happened?
I went for it, and I put it on, and I got three shots off. And then it was over. Some people came and whisked him away.
And that was the famous photo. Kate, were you?
We were all. There was about 50 of us on the balconies of the Beijing Hotel with television cameras. And when he came out, we were absolutely staggered. Earlier, we had been there. I mean, we'd been there overnight. And at 9 o'clock in the morning, at 9, 8, at 10, 20, there were volleys of shots in front of us in the hotel. We saw people shot dead in front of us. It was quite, quite dreadful. And by the time the tanks came rolling through, we just didn't know what to expect. And when he popped out, not only did he stand in front of the tank, he then hopped onto it to have a word with the driver. We were silent. All the television cameras were trained on him, and we were thinking, what on earth is going to happen? And he seemed to have a little chat with the guy. Then he jumped off again, and we wondered, are they going to roll over him? And at that point, some people came out from the side of the street. We couldn't see. None of us could see his face. None of us could see who these guys were, though we were all on close-up. And to this day, we do not know if he was taken away perhaps by friends who he'd been with. He was an ordinary worker, we believe. We don't have his name. Or he was taken away by the hundreds and hundreds of plainclothes policemen around there, and he met his end in an anonymous manner, which happened also to a lot of people. It was a truly terrible, terrible day.
Thanks very much to both of you for joining us and recounting your memories of that day 20 years ago in Tiananmen Square. Kate Ady from the BBC, who was there and joins us from London, and Jeff Widener, staff reporter for the Honolulu Advertiser and one of the photographers who took the original photos of the Tank Man.